If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means insane player props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBook, winning season means watching live sports and betting live sports all season long. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are starting off right where they left off last year, and the NFL is officially returning in a big way. That means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes week in, week out. Get in on the action. Use promo code ZABE and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best in the NFL this season for your chance to win big. Use promo code ZABE and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. Today on the ZabeCast, Danny Poland joins me to bask in the glory of a Red Wolves opening day win. We also talk uniforms, name change, new announcers, and the ongoing farce that is Dick Stockton. Also, San Diego has just had it. Pennsylvania got slam dunked on in court, and there might be hope yet for the coronavirus madness to finally break. Your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Tuesday, September 15, 2020. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for joining me. And thank you, by the way, for reading the descriptions, the written descriptions of this particular podcast in the episode notes. I thought nobody read those. I put in a little note yesterday to go, why am I writing this? Nobody reads this stuff. Somebody said, oh, I wish you had written an actual what's in this episode, because if I had known it was your two cowboy buddies, I would have skipped it. See, that's the thing. Every time I write these previews, I have this, oh, shit. It's like I got to sell people. Here's who's going to be on the podcast today. Here's what I'm going to talk about. But don't worry. You may not like it, but it'll be okay. You know what the podcast is, no matter who I have on? 100% fucking me. You come for me. I'm the show. I'm the guy you need, you want in your ears right now.
I'm in your ears right now.
Okay, that was kind of weird. Sorry. I won't do that again. Well, it's kind of egotistical too, wasn't it? But not necessarily wrong. You just got to trust me. If you give me, 35, 40 minutes a day, I'll give you something good to listen to. And a few F-bombs. Let's start in San Diego. San Diego has been backed into a corner, and you never back baby into a corner. Here is San Diego supervisor Jim Desmond on what's going to happen next in San Diego.
Everyone, Supervisor Jim Desmond with you here on Monday, September 14th, letting you know that tomorrow is a Board of Supervisors meeting. Starts at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m., time certain, I'm told, that we are actually going to have the COVID item discussed at the Board of Supervisors meeting. So we need businesses to call in. We need your participation. We need your voices heard, to call in to the meeting. Let us know if 25% capacity at your restaurant is making any money. We're in a corner now here with what the state has done with this new color-coded system of criteria for opening. Really, they're keeping us closed. to get to the yellow, which is the best possible scenario, which is only 50% of our churches and our restaurants
get a load of this.
And gyms and things like that open, we have to get to an impossible less than one positive case per 100,000.
What?
As I said before, even if we had a vaccine, it couldn't guarantee those types of results. So basically, we're in a box. The state has put us there. And now the state is also manipulating our numbers. We're bouncing between purple and red, and it just seems like we've got no place else to go. This is the time, folks, to call in. Let us hear what it is, your frustrations. I'm going to be making a motion that we do not enforce the state's open and closure guidelines, even though they're still going to be in place, and businesses are going to will be taking a risk if they open. But this, as a county, we should not be enforcing these impossible state rules that we can't meet those criteria to even get beyond 50% open. Time to get mad, folks. Time to get energized. Give a call tomorrow. I'll be listening. Thanks a lot.
Yes. Fucking yes. It's about time. It's long past time. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, a district judge has smacked down Governor Tom Wolf and his health secretary on their closures. They were sued by four different counties in Pennsylvania. And the judge, a Trump appointee, wrote in his decision, quote, "The liberties protected by the Constitution are not fair weather freedoms in place when times are good, but able to be cast aside in times of trouble," said Judge Stickman. Great name for a judge, by the way, Stickman. "There is no question that this country has faced and will face emergencies of every sort, but the solution to a national crisis can never be permitted to supersede the commitment to individual liberty that stands as the foundation of the American experiment. The Constitution cannot accept the concept of a new normal where the basic liberties of the people can be subordinated to open-ended emergency mitigation members. A total shutdown of a business with no end date and the specter of additional future shutdowns can cause critical damage to a business's ability to survive, to an employee's ability to support him or herself, and adds a government-induced cloud of uncertainty to the usual unpredictability of nature and life." Beautiful decision. Who knows if it's going to stand? Who knows where it goes next? But still, these are hopeful things. And you need these hopeful things because you see so many depressing things out there. The most depressing are either the political agitators that just want to keep this going because they're trying to win an election. And remember, incumbents, when things are bad, fare poorly. So the more that the out-of-party can fuck things up, it'll be better for them. It may backfire, but they're trying to not make it good right now. And that's obvious. But beyond just the political actors and the paid pundits who are in the tank of, oh no, we got to keep it shut down, there's a lot of scared people out there. There's a lot of scared people who are completely irrational. They are the sheep. So you and me and others with a brain thinking for ourselves, we're outnumbered, man. We're outnumbered way too much. It's goddamn depressing. So whenever you hear somebody or see somebody and you go, thank you, it makes you feel good. Here's a woman on the streets in London, no mask on, giving it to somebody from the Beeb about what's really going on.
Scared people, yeah. They're not using this. They're using what the media is saying to them.
Yeah.
Use your brain. Look at the coronavirus.
It's an old woman,
people
too.
Die every year, elderly people after Christmas. How many extra people have died?
Yeah.
Not too many.
No.
But yet the news is telling us we should be all walking around blooming scared. It doesn't scare me.
Yeah. Girl.
So how do you get your information then? Why? How do you know what you know about the fact that the figures are actually lower than what the media is
suggesting?
I don't
get it from BBC News.
No.
And it's the same old garbage all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
I look at the economy, what's happening, and I look at all those who are milking the system because they do not go to work because the government is having to supply them with this money all the time. England must get back to work again because the economy has just gone down to the pits.
Yeah.
Start thinking with your head.
Yeah.
Love it. I love that woman. Speaking of, you know, the way that extended unemployment works to disincentivize, I've been hearing on our station in D.C., the Team 980, advertisements from MGM Grand in the D.C. market saying, we're hiring. We're hiring. We need this. We need that. We need dealers. We need this. Da, 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 da. And I was like, damn. I always thought those were pretty good jobs, all things considered. And now they're openly advertising, hey, we need people. And I'm thinking, well, probably a combination of things. One, too many people on unemployment. That's paying them as much, if not more, so why work? Secondly, the sheep that are scared to be amongst a bunch of other people and possibly catch the Rona. And on top of it, they probably don't want to wear masks. But it's a hell of a thing. And I know a guy, I'll just call him the Felt Father, who nearly died of coronavirus and not that old either, about my age. Had a hell of a bout with it early in the pandemic. He sent me a long email chronicling it. And I love you, Felt Father, if you're listening out there. I'm glad you're better. And he is a high-level VIP host at this very casino, so he would have some idea about this. But he was already, believe it or not, on, not furlough, he was on like leave from his job at the casino when he caught the row, and he doesn't know where. He has no idea. He said he went to a CarMax to buy a car, but he was not close to anybody for any extended period of time, wasn't licking any doorknobs or anything. Doesn't know. And he had a tough go of it early on. Anyway, the fight continues. The fight has to continue. And what's sad is that, you know, Ron DeSantis is just, he's got a layup line of dunks on people that are not covering Florida now that the numbers are way down. Florida update, DeSantis tweets, the number of COVID hospitalizations down 73% since July peak. Number of COVID plus positive patients hospitalized in the ICU, down 65%. 29% of hospital beds currently empty. 25% of ICU beds currently empty. Number of COVID positive hospital admissions, lowest since June 11th. Percent positive for new cases is 3.9%. Broward at 2.6%. Miami-Dade, 4%. Continuing to be very low. And that's, by the way, with our high cycle threshold. Number of patients currently being treated for COVID in Florida, 4% of all licensed beds in hospitals. Oh, the hospitals are going to be overrun. Where's the media? Nowhere. Crickets. Cowards. Boo. Liars. Evil. And then, first thing you get from the comments, liar, you're lying. And they're like, you know, you're making up these numbers. So the people believe the numbers when they're high, but then when they're low, they say DeSantis is lying and there's cover-up theories and everything else. God, is it bullshit. It's a mixture. It's a mixture of political operatives who want to keep this thing going and just a lot of scared people and a lot of easily scared people and a lot of people that just don't care. They're like, oh, what's the big deal? Eventually things will open. You know, that for them, their daily routine is, I only go to the store once every other couple days. Otherwise, I'm kind of home. What do I care? You should care, because when they start taking freedoms away, you got to fight for them every step of the way. Look at this as an example. Holy shit. Anyway. Okay, enough of that. We move on. Andy Poland is up next. We'll talk some football announcers and a whole lot more in the spectacularness that is Chase freaking Young.
Hello,
Andy. Well, that was a pleasant surprise, wasn't it? The Washington football team winning a game down 17. I almost tweeted 0-1 just because I was in one of those moods, but I didn't. So old takes exposed. Don't have me this time. Plenty other takes, though. What'd you think of the game?
Wow. You know, it started out like so many typical Washington-Philadelphia games. And, you know, there was no sign of anything that was going to happen positively. In fact, I thought Philadelphia blew a couple of opportunities, but it was bizarre in that they were down 17-0, yet they had four sacks. And you're thinking something's not right here. And you know that they already had offensive line trouble coming into the game. It got to the point where one of their starting linemen, I think it was the right tackle, who was making his first NFL start, had to go out and they put in an Australian rules football guy, some mountainous guy about 6'8",
you know,
just learning the 3-point stance or something like that. So eventually, you know, that sieve-like offensive line gave way. And then Carson Wentz got really skittish after he threw that first interception. I mean, he wasn't the same guy after that. And good for them for coming back. And look, the defense looks good. And for once, there's a big hyped guy coming out of college in Chase Young who looks like he's the real thing.
You know, we could have taken Tua Tagovailoa. Everyone was trying to tank for Tua, and then he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And so that knocked his draft status down. We could have had him in theory. He didn't play on Sunday. Fitzpatrick did. I guess he's not ready health-wise, or they don't think he's grasped the offense yet. Chase Young looks dominant right out of the gate. It looks like he could be our Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa or Sam Darnold, or Aaron Donald, or a combination of the two. It is nice to get what looks like a sure thing.
Well, you know, Brian Kerrigan had one of his best games yesterday. He had two sacks and a fumble recovery. And you may remember in his first game, which was against the Giants, he tipped an Eli Manning pass in the air and picked it off for six. And I think a lot of us thought, well, here's the game-breaking guy that they need. And while he's been really steady and he's now set the team record for the most sacks, he isn't a disruptor in the way that Lawrence Taylor was. Maybe Young
that's an unfair bar. Come on. You can't say, well, Kerrigan's not Lawrence Taylor. Well, no shit. Lawrence Taylor's a Hall of Famer.
Right. But he also isn't the kind of guy that completely disrupts a game. And maybe Chase Young could be that guy.
Do you feel like Kerrigan has been underappreciated in this town?
Yeah, probably, because he's been on so many bad teams. You know, and he hasn't had a lot of help. And because they're, you know, the way they've drafted, always going for the shiny objects, they haven't done what they've done in the last few years. I mean, that's starting to pay off. When you continue to draft defensive linemen in the first round, you're going to build up a stable of pretty good linemen, and they've done it.
Never missed a game, double-digit sacks every year until just last year, I believe, was the first year he didn't have that. How can you not love that production, especially from a mid-first-round pick? They traded down that year. They could have taken Blaine Gabbert, who sucked. They trade down, and they get Kerrigan, who's been great. I think the reason that a lot of fans, some Redskin or Red Wolf or Washington football team fans, the reason that some fans are not that excited by Kerrigan is he's so perfect. He has got the perfect hair. He's a perfectly marketable guy. He's super nice, says nothing. Like, we used to have him on the show, and it was a tough interview.
Right.
And so because of that, and being on bad teams, they overlooked that. You and I will be dead before we have a guy that plays this many years, doesn't miss a game, and has double-digit sacks every single year up until this, 10th year.
Right. He's been that, you know, and maybe I'm a victim of listening too carefully to the Cooley film breakdowns where, you know, Chris Cooley would tell you, well, you know, the numbers look good, but here's what I saw. Yeah,
the numbers look good. Sacking a guy is really hard to do in the NFL.
Yes,
everyone chases 10 sacks a year. Very few people get to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Dexter Manley played on a really good defense with a bunch of guys who took care of the other stuff. And they said, Dexter, go get the quarterback. And he did 91 times in his career, which held up for 30 years until Kerrigan broke it. And Kerrigan probably does more than Dexter did. He does a variety of things on defense. And you're right, we don't appreciate it because the team has been so bad.
Do you feel like Dwayne Haskins has matured? Have you bought into that narrative? I mean, I guess all it takes is not taking a selfie and losing some weight. You're like, this guy's matured. He may have. I'm not discounting it. I just find it funny how easily the media and the fans buy into a narrative.
Well, the last time he won a game at FedEx Field, he wasn't available for the last snap.
I know.
He was taking selfies. This one, the post-game story is the locker room speech he gave while the coach was getting an IV in another room.
Yeah.
So I would say that's a step up.
I would say that's a step up. And the actual dynamics of the speech and the IV, who knows how accurate it is? It's a great story. Someone said it's very movie-like, you know?
Right, yeah. Well, you know, it's almost sometimes when the boys are down, tell them to go out there and win one for the Haskins.
Your coach is battling for his life with cancer.
He's got to live. It's just a squamous cell.
I don't care. He's getting an IV right now.
It's not chemotherapy. No.
You go out there and fight, 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 fight. It helped that Carson Wentz sucked. I got to believe there are some serious doubts in Philly about Carson Wentz at this point.
Oh, Philadelphia sports radio today had to be on fire.
Yes.
and now Nick Foles is Johnny Unitas, right?
You're up 17-0, Doug Peterson. Run the fucking ball. It's not that complicated. Slow the game down.
Well,
you know?
They didn't have an offensive line, and their top running back was out, too.
Okay, well, run, punt, play defense. Run, punt, play defense. Skins offense wasn't doing anything. Oh, I'm sorry, the Washington football team. All right, let's talk about that. I know you've never been a big uniform guy. You've always been agnostic about the name. You said I'll root for him no matter what the name is.
Mm-hmm.
Having seen week one with the end zones, with the uniforms, with people calling him the football team, how are you?
Well, I mean, it's hard to get a true picture now. One, they won the game, and two, there were no fans there. So,
but are you annoyed? Are you annoyed? Are you annoyed at all of it that we're playing this season under such a stupid? That we're playing this season under such a stupid fucking non-name and with such stupid mismatched uniforms.
Well, they didn't really have a choice.
Yes, they did. Uniform. Yes.
What could they have done?
Snyder could have said, I'm changing the name, but not this year. It's going to take some time. We never believed this name was offensive. We don't now, but we're changing it anyway. Guess what? We're playing this year under Redskins, and you can suck on it and like it. He didn't have the balls to do that.
Well, he didn't because there's too many other forest fires going on.
That's true. That's true.
And I thought, you know, the email that he sent to the Wall Street Journal, where he said,
unbelievable, they might keep it.
But the way he worded it, like, I don't know, that's fine. You know, like
it's a classy, right? He's like, it's a classy thing. I'm like, Shut up. Oh, my God. Hopefully Bezos names the new team when he finally takes over. That's all I can hope for. The notion of this doofus getting a whole new restart with a new stadium and a new name will make me so sick. That's when I'll leave, Andy. When they finally rebrand, and if Snyder survives, then I'm out. Well, I'd rather Snyder go and then be called the Bobcats with a green and teal color scheme. I'd rather that.
Well, look, I think there is, every fan would take it as a win if Snyder's gone. I can't imagine that there's a group of fans who say, we believe in our owner and we want to keep this owner. I think that's the number one thing. They would like to get rid of him. But I don't know if that's going to happen. So I think you've got to look at it like, this is the owner. How's it going to work out in the future?
Right.
I thought there was an interesting shot yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but Snyder's sitting up in his box alone with a mask on.
Of course.
Sitting next to Jason Wright. That's a seat that's been occupied by two people primarily during the ownership of Snyder.
Vinny
Serrato and Bruce Allen, who seemingly was kicked out last year, and Alex Smith.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Stepped into that spot.
Yes, because Snyder's a coward. He needed to up the quality quotient. Snyder knew that Bruce had become hated.
Right.
And so once Bruce became too toxic, he said goodbye. This is what Snyder does with all of his quote-unquote friends and confidants and close inner circle.
Right. And so the point I would make about Jason Wright is he's sitting there now. That's a spot that new guys have sat in and think, okay, well, it's a new day for this football team. But Wright, in his interviews, has been very careful to talk about the name. We got to get it right. We got to talk to the right people. We got to get the right feel. Yeah. And here's Snyder saying to the Wall Street Journal, Washington football team, if that's what it is, that's what it is.
Jesus. Talk about begging for his ownership life.
Yeah.
That's what it's come down to. All right, you don't care about the uniforms, I trust. The uniforms were a goddamn disgrace. They were all a mishmash. The helmet number matches nothing. There's no need not to have a stripe on the helmet. And they wore the worst combination they have, which is the brick red top on the white pants. Boo.
And you would have gone with what, the yellow pants?
Sure.
Okay.
But why not?
I thought that got thrown out with Bruce Allen.
Okay, how about the red pants, white top?
Fine, they could do that, you know. Maybe the Washington hadn't been stitched onto the white tops yet. You know, these were the ones that were ready. I don't know.
They could have gone back to the old Spear logo.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. I think that's too close to
as a temporary thing.
No, I don't think they want any Native American imagery. None.
No, I'm sure they don't, but I'm just saying there could have been a lot of things. Well, I'll check back with you on this issue every 4 weeks.
Okay.
And we'll see how you are come week 18 or 17. Because it's going to wear everyone down.
What, the uniforms?
The name. Oh. The whole thing. We've never had a team with a temporary name in the history of the NFL, ever.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did have one.
Who?
The Steagles.
Tell people what the Steagles were, Andy. Uncle
this
Andy.
During World War II, and there was a shortage of players, actually. They were all fighting the war, and so the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles combined for a year to become the Steagles.
Okay, there you go, the Steagles. That's it. All right. Other observations from week one first of all, before we get off the Washington football team, the new broadcast booth. Now, full disclosure, Andy Pollin works with Bram Weinstein over at the Sports Capital, AM 630. And you're not going to take a hatchet to him, but you will offer some helpful constructive criticism. The one bit of feedback I've gotten from lots of people is you can't talk over the play-by-play call.
Yes, you have to lay out. Now, there can be a big play where you might, you know, let out a cheer or something like that. But you have to let the play get called for two reasons. One, the person who's listening, you know, doesn't have any view of how exciting it is. So it's got to be described as to what happened. And two, this is a big deal for not just the next day, but for long term, where NFL films will take the radio calls.
Thank you.
And you've got to pair them up with video. And so, you know, you need a clean call to make it work. And that's so whoever he's working with, it's Julie Donaldson and D'Angelo Hall, they both have to understand, let the play out, and then they can react.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I thought Bram was pretty solid. Hall was better than expected. Julie is a class act and a very good broadcaster, mostly on TV. I have doubts about the need for a second non-football player in the booth. That is very unusual be it a man or a woman. This has nothing to do with the fact that she is not a man. It's a matter of how many non-football voices do you need in that booth, because time is precious. You know, plays come like this. You know, you got to get in, stick, and move. That's something they're going to have to work on. But overall, it's not like I really missed Larry. I do miss Cooley and Doc. But Larry was in the bottom 10, I think, of NFL announcers.
Yeah, well, he had a long run. He lasted 16 years, and you know, I thought he was solid. I didn't think he was terrible, but
solid as in bottom half of the league. All right, speaking of announcers who suck, you mentioned the fact that Dick Stockton got called up spot duty because Kenny Albert, who's been calling the NHL playoffs, was going to go from bubble to bubble, but the NFL said, no, you got to quarantine, so he couldn't call the game. They dragged up Dick Stockton. I guess everybody else was busy or something. And Dick Stockton, unfortunately, was on full display of doesn't have it, can't do it, long past his prime. You have a shocking moment at the end of the game in which DeAndre Swift of the Lions, rookie running back, drops a stone-cold touchdown pass, and Dick Stockton says, what, Andy?
Something about, and the pass is incomplete to the Lions linebacker. And I just smacked
linebacker
my forehead. First of all, the game really isn't on my radar. Generally, what I do when the Washington team is playing, I watch the full game. Occasionally during the commercials, I'll flip over to the Red Zone channel, but I don't go full Red Zone unless, you know, it's the Washington's playing at 4 or has a Monday night game or something like that. I go full Red Zone when they're not on. So the Washington game ends. As soon as it ends, they switch to this Detroit-Chicago game, and it's coming down to this last play. This is the most important play of the game, and it sure looks like a touchdown pass that Swift drops. And to not even know that he's a running back and call him a linebacker, come on.
I know. And we'll all be that way if we're allowed to broadcast long enough.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had his day, and
so why? So here's the why?
Somebody doesn't, and you know, this may be partially related to what's happening to Dick Vitale at ESPN, and his day is done. I mean, he's 81 years old now, and he doesn't really do anything but Vitale. He just, you know, does his Vitales.
You know what he does, Andy? Here's what he does. He stands in his driveway and delivers these one-minute rants about Tom Brady. Take a listen.
Take it all to the Bucs. We're expecting some greatness. However, let me say this. I'm not shocked at all. They played a team, the Saints, 26-6 their last 2 years in regular season play. Veterans, great talent, Breeze, Kamara and company. So I'm playing on the road in that situation. No exhibition games. I think that was big this year.
I mean, is that sad, or is it sort of endearing in its own way?
But I think the executives at ESPN realize that if he's not doing this anymore, it might kill him. I mean,
you do it to stay alive. You do it because this is what you're used to doing all these years. It energizes you. You know, and this has been taken away from Dick Vitale and everyone.
So they look at Stockton, and I think they say to themselves, well, you know, he's done it a long time, and if we have to go through firing him, that'll make us look bad, and he'll be sad. So we're just going to kind of keep him around. He wasn't part of the regular rotation, so this was an emergency fill-in situation. I get that, but he can't even do that anymore. You know, it's time. It's just time to move on. And you know, why does he need to do it?
I don't know. And the two things that I would tell any young aspiring broadcaster, because who wouldn't want to call NFL games on television, which, by the way, I think is, to me, when I look at the pinnacle of the industry, that's it. Television, play-by-play, NFL.
I mean,
what would be your pinnacle of the industry?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be it, I would think. I mean, it used to be that the biggest respected guy was Brent when he did the studio show.
Okay, I guess maybe being a major sports anchor for a network, but those guys that do multi-sport things don't exist anymore. Bob Costas and Brent Musburger, the concept of those guys doesn't exist. They'll have somebody for baseball, somebody for basketball, somebody for football.
Right, and look at Joe Buck. I mean, Joe Buck has baseball, and he does football. I mean, he's the number one guy for those two sports.
Yeah, let me put it this way. The two-sport number one play-by-play voice is the pinnacle of the industry.
Yeah, so, I don't think that.
So Buck and Nance right now are like that pinnacle guy. So right.
And there's certain guys that are just really, really good at it. I'll tell you a guy who's on the level of the best and is always a notch below is Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle does a great broadcast.
He does.
And he's
reached his highest limit. You know why? He's not very flashy.
No, that's true.
In this day and age, you got to be a sizzle machine. Oh, by the way, speaking of sizzle, can I put a quarter in the Skip Bayless jukebox?
God. I have known Skip Bayless for 40 years. He was in Dallas when I was in Dallas. And one of the Skip Bayless stories is he was not at all fat, but he was not in, tip-top shape. And he took up running. Because, that's what people did in the early 80s. And
yogging, just running for an undetermined amount of time, says Ron Burgundy. Go ahead.
Right. And then he got himself in very good shape, which he still is. Now he's like a workout maniac. But he wrote a column in which he said, well, now that I'm in such good shape, the athletes are more likely to talk to me. And I thought, I at that time I was doing a lot of locker room stuff. And I had never had an athlete say, yeah, I'd like to give you a few minutes here, but, you're about 20 pounds overweight, and I just can't do it.
Well, he was – so as far as the mental illness thing and what Dak – what do you – some are saying – like Whitlock is saying he's nervous because his contract is up and he's not going to be renewed at the $6 million a year he was getting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that was intentional because he – but if you watch the whole clip, he says at the beginning, people may kill me for this.
Right. You're going to bring your wrath down on me.
Yeah. So he understands what he's going to say is
hot take-ish.
I think that he also, it's interesting that he did that because he's such a big Cowboy fan. He doesn't hide that, but he decided to go in that direction, which, it just was really stupid. That was a no-win that he should have been smart enough to realize.
What was the worst take? Well, which one was worse, that take or Stephen A. saying that Steve Nash enjoyed white privilege because he was hired with no experience, even though six other black coaches with no experience have been hired in the NBA?
Yeah, and one of them was Doc Rivers. And Doc Rivers, when he took the job, people were saying, well, how's it fair that you go right from playing to being a coach? And he said, well, this is the route I took, and this was available, and not everybody could play in the NBA for a long time, and I did it, and he made the most of it. And it wasn't just that it was a stupid take by Stephen A. It was all the other black commentators who came down and said, no, that's not the case.
Which makes me think, every now and then, those guys are handed a take by management, and they're told, no.
I don't think so. No, I think.
Do you know that Jim Rome had a take writer all these years?
Well, Jim Rome is something else, and Jim Rome isn't on the national radar like that. He's got his group of people, and I've never understood how he stayed on the air. But Stephen A. is the highest paid person at ESPN.
So what? The top artists in music have their songs written for them, most of them. There's songwriters, there's script writers for presidents. Not everybody writes their own shit, Andy. You do, but not everybody.
No, but I don't think that was handed to him. I think he just is under the gun that he's got to stay controversial. Oh. And so the way he handled that the next day,
I am not backing down.
Yeah, doubled down on Loud. I'm not going to shut up. But you said the same stupid thing, just louder. And the people who really know what's going on, including your fellow African-American commentators, all said, no, that's not what happened here.
Yeah. Back to football. I'm depressed that there are not fans in the stands, and it's not the same for me. Do you miss the fans on television?
Yes. It's definitely a different experience. But when the game gets going, if it's a good game, I still am into it. And, we also have to realize it's better than nothing. And I know it's
better than nothing. And I've quickly, like many ungrateful Americans, I'm the ugly American. I've gone right past, thank God it's something, to I'm still not happy because it's not what I want.
Yeah, but okay. Did you watch any of the? You must have watched the Kansas City game on Thursday night.
I did.
Okay, and they had fans in the stands.
And the game wasn't very good.
But yeah, it was about 20%, but it was loud at the beginning. And Al Michaels made a point of saying, "We're not piping in crowd noise. This is it."
He said that.
Yeah, he said.
I thought they had to have piped in some. I know this. I know this. The Cowboy Ram game was close. It was not exciting, in part because Al Michaels needs to hang it up as well. He was disinterested. I know you'll never get down with that take. One of these days you will. You know, he's taken like 4 weeks off this year, Al Michaels.
I know, and he's also said he's not leaving when his contract is up.
What? What does that mean?
Not leaving TV. I mean, he'll.
What's he going to do?
He'll go to another network.
To call games?
Yeah.
Fuck him. Retire. You're not good anymore. You're disinterested. Yeah. Without a crowd last night, Al Michaels sounded completely out of it. You watch big play after big play, and an interception greeted with, "And that's intercepted." That's the opposite of Tessitore, which some people would say I prefer it that way. I don't know. Anyway, are you set personally, being a guy like me that likes to watch at home? Even though you miss the fans, are you set or you're like, okay, I can deal with this for the whole season if that's what it's going to take?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I'm down for all 16 games. One other thing on Al that disinterested, the one other time I heard him that way, you know, Al was primarily a baseball guy when he started doing Monday Night Football. And Monday Night Football, I don't know when he started, was probably in the early 80s. And there was a night when the Mets were playing the seventh game of the World Series and the then Redskins were playing the New York Giants. And you could tell he did not want to be doing a football game that night. He was much more interested in the seventh game of the World Series.
Sure.
That's the only other time I've heard him disinterested.
Right. Two more things real quick. Thing number one, the Big Ten. We are still in limbo as of this taping on Monday afternoon. Your thoughts?
It looks like they're coming up. But did I not read something that Michigan and Michigan State won't participate in this?
The rumor from Dan Patrick. Can you believe? I mean, the president of Michigan, this guy Mark Schlissel, I don't give a shit if he's a doctor and an epidemiologist. He'll be out on his ass if he votes no and Michigan stays home and the rest of the conference plays. You can't survive that at Michigan. Bo Schembechler, you. Are you kidding me? He's dead man presidenting.
Plus you have the coach, Jim Harbaugh, leading the charge to play. It's a weird, weird dynamic there. And
how do you feel about Maryland? How do you feel about Maryland?
Well, I mean, Maryland is, you know, they're a ride along.
But you like watching their games. You've gone to their games.
Yeah, I do. But in terms of their influence on Big Ten football compared to Michigan,
Thria Tagovailoa was going to play this year. Tua's younger brother transfer.
Yeah, maybe. I don't,
maybe.
I don't know if that's 100% whether they got the waiver or not.
No, they did. No, he was cleared.
Okay, so maybe he was going to play. But Maryland football is so far down on the radar.
Care about that per se.
No, I mean, it'd be nice if they played. It'd be something else to watch on Saturday. And, you know, I don't know if they're not going to have fans in the stands this year.
Okay. But, all right. And then finally this, Fuddruckers folded it up. Remember how much you took the glee at Bennigan's, finally going belly up because you hated that place. I made you go to it on at least one occasion. Do you feel the same for the giant hamburger chain Fuddruckers?
Absolutely not.
Bennigan's
suck. And Fuddruckers, actually, I was ground floor on that. That started in San Antonio when I was there. And that was when it opened. Oh, this is so cool. You get to see them grind the meat there. And wow, this is so great. And the you know, the burgers were good. There weren't a million hamburger chains then. And, you know, everything was fresh. And I really liked it. And then when the kids were little, they used to have like Tuesday nights or something, kids eat free. And we would go, you know, on a fairly regular basis. I will miss that. That was a wonderful place, I thought.
It's hamburgers, though, Andy. It's just a hamburger.
I understand. But now there are a million places to get hamburgers, but when it opened, that was sort of unique.
It's like what Larry King once said about the movie Black Hawk Down. Remember?
If you like war.
It's war.
It's war.
Yeah, if you like war, it's war. It's a hamburger. If you like a hamburger, Fuddruckers is your place.
Right.
All right, Andy. Always a pleasure. The football team is 1-0 on to Arizona to chase down Kyler Murray and try to stop DeAndre Hopkins. Good luck to the boys, right?
Yeah, 7-point underdogs, but they were underdogs against the Eagles, too.
All right, very good. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Zach.
See ya. We'll end on this. I've often said there's only two types of men in the world. Those who have shit their pants as an adult and liars. Oh, what? You disagree with me on that? Aroldis Chapman on the mound at Yankee Stadium. What happens?
Aaron, what sent you to the mound for Chapman in the ninth inning? Why did you head out there?
I was just checking on him.
What did you see, I guess?
He's fine.
Okay. It seemed like...
We'll leave it at that.
Okay. After he got the out, he was kind of laughing. And he turned around to center field. What was going on with that?
He's fine. He's fine. Mother Nature okay. calls sometimes.
Oh. Okay. No follow-up.
Okay.
Aaron, what sent you...
So there you go. Hey, man, I applaud Chapman for staying in the game. One of the guys in our fantasy league, Joe Foster, maybe it's Big Stupid. I forget where this term came from, but the name of his fantasy team is, and this is an adult podcast, and Ma, you shouldn't be listening. Ma, don't listen. Emerging Shit Stains. An emerging shit stain in your pants. Only two types of men in the world. Those who have shit their pants and stone cold liars. And don't you forget it. Thank you for listening and downloading. Have yourself a wonderful Tuesday. Tell a couple friends about this Zabecast. Spread the word. Let's keep it growing. It's been doing great. As always, thank you for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time.